Infonomicon Radio episode 36, hosted by none other than the Droops himself.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever. Snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now.
The apocalyptic vision of a criminally insane, charismatic cult leader.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. Who would not let... Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here's a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
You have meddled with the crime.
Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill!
After very careful considerations, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I'm as mad as hell, and I am not going to make this anymore!
House and Senate negotiators this week are hammering out the details of the Real ID Act. Supporters of this measure, which could set federal standards for driver's licenses and state identification cards, insist it is a move toward a national ID card, with all the big brotherish concerns that it raises. But it seems clear that once the federal government requires states to issue federally approved electronic identification cards to board a plane or a train or to enter a national park and a federal courthouse, eventually, these little cards, with personal information and a digital photograph, will be required for nearly everything else. Now, that's not a good idea. Unless, of course, you're an ambitious computer criminal in search of a mother load of data. But if the government really wants to head down this road, a proposal of this significance ought to be dislodged from the $81 billion Iraq spending bill and debated on its own merits, not as part of the war effort. Congress must also allocate enough funds to pay for the required changes instead of shifting the burden to the states to pay for the national ID system. The Real ID Act that I'm talking about passed the House in February. It was tacked on to the must-pass supplemental bill for Iraq. That means no committee hearings were held regarding this measure. There was no debate. This act creates a massive database. All passports and visas must be scanned, and all state driver and motor vehicle databases will be required to link and share information. That means some criminal, in search of a challenge, in search of some money, could pursue access to a system with the social security numbers, birth dates, and addresses of every American. Except the illegal immigrants are cut out of this bill. The bill shifts all of the burdens to the states without giving them a voice in the process. A full hearing could allow these issues to be addressed before the bill comes to final vote. The Congressional Budget Office estimates it'll cost $100 million to implement and run the Real ID program between 2005 and 2010. Without federal funding, already cash-strapped states will have to foot that massive cost to upgrade digital scanning equipment, train employees, and be ready in 3 years, which are required by the Act. Any license issued in contradiction of these rules would require a waiver from no less than the Secretary of Homeland Security. House Judiciary Chairman F. James Sensenbrenner, Jr., a Republican from Wisconsin, sponsored this act in response to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. 18 of the 19 hijackers used state ID cards or driver's licenses to get aboard the aircraft they crashed that day. But it's questionable whether the new requirements that Sensenbrenner is backing would have prevented or impeded these attacks. The hijackers had passports and could have legally used them to board the planes. Now, I know that the government has a goal of tightening our defense against terrorists, and maybe we need that. But the steps involved in the Real ID Act are so sweeping that the proposal rates a full hearing, not a sidebar debate that will get lost in the need for more money, the war in Iraq. And any changes the states are mandated to make if this act ultimately passes should be paid for from Washington. Well, that was an article. I kind of changed it around from the Detroit Free Press. I cut out a little bit of it. And all I can say about this is, what the fucking shit? Fuck! This is the... For people that don't understand the political way of doing things, let's say you're in school right now. You're in high school. And you really want free pizza for all the students. Okay? You go to the principal, you go for the group, and you say, hey, I want free pizza for all the students. They're going to say, fuck you. You're not getting any fucking pizza. Free. My ass. But if you go before the school on a proposal that they're trying to get passed saying, well, we really want to help the disabled. We want to have some wheelchairs for the kids that can't use the stairs so they don't have to keep crawling up them carrying their damn wheelchair. And we really need a new gym floor because the last one fell through. And every time people try to play basketball, they fall into the weightlifting room below. And then you just kind of tack that on the side. And they don't really have a chance to oppose the whole thing because they need most of it. You might just get that free pizza pass through. And pretty much you're a pussy and you're going against a lot of people to get something passed. And that's what they're doing. Our troops, whether you like the war in Iraq or not, our troops need funding. If my friends are over there, one of my friends came home the other day from his year of being over there, and he was wearing a shirt that had a bullet hole in the back from where he got shot. And I'll be goddamned if our country doesn't give them bullets to shoot fucking back. If they're going to send the troops over there, we need to support our troops. I mean, not really getting into the validity of the whole thing over there. So we need to do that. That's good. Help the troops out. You know, they're American citizens too. A lot of them don't want to be over there. But to kind of push in like a little bitch, this Real ID Act, oh, fucking A, that's just fucking stupid. A government-issued ID. I don't really like state IDs, but you gotta have some kind of identification, I guess. And we all know how easy that is to get around. And if you don't, you need to pay a little bit more attention. But a federal government accessible or issued ID, that's a big thing. I don't really know what all to say because I want to say so much and I don't want to take up the whole show. I'm flabbergasted that this could happen. Like the article said, that's one place you store all your information. If there's one hole in that one place, then we're all fucked. And that's true. And if the government issues IDs, we're all fucked. The next thing they're going to do, we all know, I'm not really a doomsayer, but they're going to track us. And they want to know everything that we do. They already track you with your credit card purchases. They already track you with cameras that record the license plate number on your vehicle going through certain places. They track you enough. I don't want a federal ID. I don't want any of that. When nations that issue nationwide IDs are places that the government has gotten too powerful. If I pay my taxes and I don't break any of these laws they have, they ought to leave me the fuck alone. I like the idea, if I want to go to Alabama, I get in my truck and I drive to Alabama. I don't have to go before some station between Mississippi and Alabama and show ID. They do that in countries where the government, you know, is called dictatorship, things like that. They don't do that in free societies. I know a lot of you listeners aren't from America, and I know you people, there's a lot of y'all that don't like America. I know there's some people in Canada that really, really hate America. Ah, America's so bad. Well, I don't like a lot of things about America, but I'm very proud to be an American. I'm glad that I live here. And if we didn't have dissenters, the government could get away with a lot of stuff. So it's good to have dissenters. And I think that this being the land of the free, we ought to be free. I ought to be free to go outside my house, go down the street, and have a plane crash into me. And that's how it should be. I don't need to walk down my street past the barricade that keeps the car bomb from going off. I don't need to walk past this, walk past that. That's not freedom. That's not freedom at all. I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself. The government doesn't need to protect me as much as they think they do. Because the more protecting they do of you, the more they're not protecting you, the more they're protecting their own interests. And they're trying to fool you into thinking that you need this protection when you don't. If you want to live somewhere, the government monitors everything you do, and you can't go here, you can't do that, you can't here. You don't need to be here. This needs to be the land of the free. And I'm sick to death of all this shit. And I'm not the only one, fortunately. If I ever have to leave my house and show papers, I'm getting the fuck out. I should never have to do any of that, and this is just another step toward that. Fuck. I got an email today from some guys in my Linux users group. It says, congressional passage of the Real ID legislation is now all but a done deal. House and Senate conferences having agreed to include the language in appropriations bill that is all but certain to pass. The name Real ID is, if anything, too modest. Despite deep public opposition over the years to a national identity card and Congress's unwillingness to even consider the idea directly, our security agencies have gotten what they want as proponents have succeeded in pushing through Congress a national ID in disguise. The Real ID Act is indeed a real national ID. Although individual states' driver's licenses may continue to exhibit cosmetic differences, they will now contain a standardized set of information collected by all 50 states. Which means that underneath each state's pretty design, they are really a single, standardized national card, backed up not only by biometrics, but also by a standardized machine-readable code and by a national database of ID information. Local DMV offices may continue to appear to be state offices, but they will now become agents acting on behalf of the federal government, charged with issuing a national identity document without which one will be unable to function in America. National databases create powerful tracking tools. Real ID requires the states to link their databases together for the mutual sharing of data from these IDs. This is, in effect, a single, seamless national database available to all the states and to the federal government. The fact that this database is a distributed one, maintained on interconnected servers in separate states, makes no difference. National databases create a security risk. The creation of a single interlinked database creates one-stop shop for identity thieves and terrorists who want to assume an American's identity. The security problems with creating concentrated databases has recently been demonstrated by the rampant number of data breaches in recent months, in which information held by commercial database companies has fallen into the hands of identity thieves or others. The government's record in all or at information security is a little better. That's especially true for state motor vehicle departments that have routinely been targeted by insider and outsider fraud and just plain larceny. The machine-readable zone paves way for private sector piggybacking. Our new IDs will have to make their data available through a common machine-readable technology that will make it easy for anyone in the private industry to snap up data on these IDs. Bar-swiping licenses to collect personal data on customers will just be the tip of the iceberg as every retailer in America learns to grab that data and sell it to ChoicePoint for a dime. It won't matter whether the states and federal government protect the data. It will be harvested by the private sector, which will keep it in a parallel database, not subject to even the limited privacy rules in effect for the government. This national ID card will make observations of citizens easy, but won't do much about terrorism. The fact is, identity-based security is not an effective way to stop terrorism. ID documents do not reveal anything about evil intent, and even if they did, determined terrorists will always be able to obtain fraudulent documents, either counterfeit or real documents bought from corrupt officials. Negotiated rulemaking. Among the unfortunate effects of this legislation is it preempts another process for considering standardized driver's license that was far superior. That process, set in motion by the Intelligent Reform Act of 2004, including a negotiated rulemaking among interested parties, including states and civil liberties groups, to create standards. Instead, the worst form of rules are being imposed, with the details worked out by security officials at DHS instead of the balanced negotiations among affected parties. Your papers, please. In the days after 9/11, President Bush and others proclaimed that we must not let terrorists change American life. It's now clear that despite its lack of effectiveness against actual terrorism, we've allowed our security agencies to push us into making deeper, far-reaching changes to the character of American life. That was written by Barry Steinhardt. He was the Director of Technology and Liberty Project at the ACLU. Now, some of y'all know my politics, and this isn't a political show, but this just shit fucking pisses me the fuck off, and I'm gonna fucking talk about it. I'm a firm believer in states' rights. And if you look into history, like the Civil War, don't believe what you think it's about. It was about states' rights. And the Revolutionary War, when we, beat the British back, that was about the same fucking thing, except it wasn't called states' rights. These things go on. These things need to happen. This is fucking crazy. States should have a lot more say-so into everything. Our government is chosen by the people for the people, right? This is true. We have a lot more say-so into what our state does than we do at the federal level. If I get pissed off at the governor of Mississippi, I can call. There's a number. And I can call, and I can get one of his aides, and I can tell him stuff. Or I can go down to the state capitol. It's, 5 hours from where probably the farthest reaches in the state of Mississippi if you drive slow. And it's probably that far for most people, excluding Alaska. Sorry, guys. Just a side note, in Alaska, Juneau's their capital, and there's no road to Juneau. You have to take a boat or a train. Anyway, back to my bitching. If the states had more power, as not more power as they need a lot more power, as in take some power away from the federal government, I think our country would be a lot better off. Because the federal government is not looking out for the people of Mississippi or the people in Wisconsin. Federal government's looking out for the federal government. Now, of course, the politicians in the state of Mississippi are looking out for the politicians in the state of Mississippi, but they're also looking out for the state of Mississippi in the national scheme of things. Because the more money gets thrown to the state of Mississippi, the more money they get, and that's better for the state. I'm tired of talking politics. I'm not going to talk anymore. Look into this thing. Look into it. Do a little reading. This real ID legislation is going to pass, more than likely. And it doesn't need to. It needs to go fucking the hell away. And we need to keep away from a national ID. State IDs are good enough. I don't really even like them. But I'm sorry. It just really pisses me off. But, I'm going to do something funny. My friend Jason Scott called me while I was on a date with my wife and had to play these things into my cell phone, and they're very, very interesting. And thank you, Jason. I'm not bitching. But, you all get to listen to it. And Infonomicon's not becoming a commercialized radio show by any means, and this is a commercial for a product. And I don't even know if it's a good product, but the commercial is something that it's good. Listen.
There's nothing good about fire ants. They don't pollinate your roses. They don't make cute little sounds when they rub their legs together. All they do is build a big mound in your yard and bite the hell out of anyone who gets near it. That's it. That's their sole contribution to mankind. And that's why they have to die. It's that simple. You cannot rehabilitate a fire ant. You have to kill him, his little red friends, and that big fat queen down there making more fire ants. Oh, you could lug a big sack of chemicals and a garden hose around the
yard, but that's about as fun as getting bit in the first place. No, what you need is Antstop Orthene Fire Ant Killer from Ortho. You put 2 teaspoons of Antstop around the mound, and you're done. You don't even water it in. The scout ants track it back into the mound, and here's the really good part. Everybody dies, even the queen. And while there's joy in all creatures living in harmony, it's nothing compared to wasting fire ants. Now that's a rush. Antstop Orthene Fire Ant Killer from Ortho. Kick fire ant butt. Always follow label instructions. Fire ants are not lovable. People do not want fire ant plush toys. They aren't cuddly, they don't do little tricks, they just bite you and leave red stinging welts that make you want to cry. That's why they have to die, and they have to die right now. You don't want them to have a long lingering illness, you want death. A quick, excruciating, see you in hell kind of death. You don't want to lug a bag of chemicals and a garden hose around the yard. It takes too long. And baits can take up to a week. No, my friend, what you want is Antstop Orthene Fire Ant Killer from Ortho. You put 2 teaspoons of Antstop around the mound, and you're done. You don't even water it in. The scout ants bring it back into the mound, and this is the really good part. Everybody dies. Even the queen. It's that fast. And that's good, because killing fire ants shouldn't be a full-time job, even if it is pretty fun. Antstop Orthene Fire Ant Killer from Ortho. Kick fire ant butt. For best results, always follow label instructions.
All right, back to that Infonomicon thing that we're doing here. If you're a new listener to the show, we usually do things a little bit differently, but whatever. I thought that topic was kind of important. My name's Droops. I'm the host of Infonomicon, and I have some cool stuff. If you go up to infonomicon.org, which is the website, you'll see that we've changed the design a little bit. Actually, we've changed the design a lot. Obfuscated made the last one. I made the new one. Obfuscated's gone. I'm here. Obfuscated's a good guy. I literally liked his site, but I just wanted to change it. I don't keep the same wallpaper on my computer all the time, so I'm not going to keep the website looking the same. I fixed a bunch of things that were wrong on the website. There were a lot of shows that were missing, I don't know, fucked up, whatever. So that's all working. Let's see. Infonomicon TV Episode 3, almost full 30 minutes of it, is up for download. People should go check that out. I've got a little bootleg footage of the VBS documentary. I've got an interview with Joe Klein. I've got a thing on how to make FM transmitters work a little better. What else did I have on there? How to make your own flexible keyboard. Stuff like that. You should go check it out. It's pretty cool. And buy the VBS documentary. I am. It's money going to a good cause. I talked to Jason Scott today. Well, it's not a good cause. It's going to a good guy. Talked to Jason Scott today, and he had to pay like $1,500 shipping, something like that, on the DVDs coming from the factory. Like pallets of DVDs. Which is really fucking cool, and I'm sure he's going to sell them all and do really well. Let's see, I got some email. A guy named, I'm going to call him Berkey. Berkey said, "Hey Droops, no offense, but I like the old design a lot more." Thanks, Berkey. You bastard. And he told me how to fix a couple things in CSS, and then he says, but it's not the site that matters anyway. Show's great, and I don't think there's been one I didn't learn anything from. Right? I learned anything from. That's what he meant to say. Keep it up. And Behave Dave sent an email, and he said, "Excellent show. I only started listening to the show 3 weeks ago after coming across podcastalley.com, and I've listened to a number of previous shows. I'm mailing to tell you the last two shows have been my favorites because they broke away from the mold and gave excellent and interesting lectures, a format that I hope you repeat often." That was from Behave Dave. Well, Behave Dave, you're getting what you want. Infonomicon's been kind of moving. It was an hour and a half show, me and Obfuscated telling dick and pussy jokes, and it was fun, it was a good time. Obfuscated had to move away. I should have said his name a lot this episode. In the last 10 minutes. And we've cut it down to 30-minute format, so it's manageable by me. I'm about to be in finals for next week. This show's coming out late, so I'm not going to have a time anymore. Well, the traditional way of doing it once a week is a traditional way. I'm going to move more to the, I hate to say it, the podcast method, where you just kind of do it, and it kind of just shows up. So if you go look, I've renamed all the MP3s to their number, not their date, so that we'll keep them in order. It's easy to do, and there's no date anymore. From now on, we're just doing it the way I'm doing it now, and people are just going to get it when they get it, and if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I'm also not going to do news articles like we were doing. I think I'm going to pick a main topic, kind of like one of my favorite shows, Ben Rev does, and I'm going to do it when I want to do it, the way I want to do it, when. Yeah, I already said that. So be looking for that. Time's just flying by with the radio show, and I've got a lot of school stuff and work stuff and real life stuff, but I'm going to keep with the Infonomicon. I really like it. I really like having this voice. And I really like entertaining the 6 people that listen. Thanks, guys. Anyway, I'm tired. We don't have much time to fill up left. I've got about 45 minutes to go before the music starts. Anyway, guys, I want to give a couple shouts. I want to give a shout to guys that sent me email, to FiZone. Thank you for helping with the website. Shetta, thanks for calling me a lot. I like you. You're cute. Pixel Fiend, you're an awesome man. Stinky, you too, buddy. Obfuscated, out there in real world. Hey, if you ever listen to the show, send me an email, call me. Like, the naked pictures just aren't working for me anymore, buddy. And also, this guy I recently met, Bubba Hacks. I'm going to give you a shout-out. And Bubba Hacks has a video coming out about computers. It's a little different. Well, anyway, I've been Droops, and I'm Mickey Finn. Oh, but wait. The music is Sleep by Treewave.